Hello and welcome to an episode of the True Jet Show. My name's Cam Pierce.
And I'm Justin T. Wiley.
Oh boy, Justin T. Been recording shows for an hour, so he's good and warmed up, ain't that right?
Oh, I am excited. Lance was all flustered about Bitcoin. He's worried.
I said, why is he worried?
Oh, well, he's just, you know, he gets it conceptually, but it freaks him out. He's worried about his money. He's worried about his retirement. He's worried that the economy's growing too fast. He's just, he's concerned because, you know, at this point, he's at the mercy of other people, and he doesn't like that because his retirement is, you know, heavily based on what's in the stock market.
And it's so, time to bail. That's what I say. Time to get out.
Well, but see, he's making so much money that it's like, well, you know, I don't want to pull out and then nothing go wrong, and I could have made so much more money. But at the same time, it's, you know, I don't know. It's the catch 22. I guess you and I aren't in a place where, you know, if I lose everything that's invested in the stock market tomorrow, I mean, we won't lose everything. The stuff, I'll still have it. It will be worth way less. There's plenty of time for it to all build back up and for me to recoup that, because I'm not interested in getting a hold of that stuff anytime soon. But for the likes of a Lance Jackson, that's not a luxury that he has or other people like him do.
Gotcha. And that makes sense. I mean, you know, you gotta know where your retirement is. See, he should have just all put it in savings bonds, so then he could make like 0.8 or 0.08% on all his money, and then he'd be the safest man on the planet, but he'd be making no money.
Well, now, see, he's worried about the government crashing and the banks going under, and then his money will be stuck, and he can't get it. So he's thinking, you know, he's thinking cash out and put the money in plastic bags and bake it into a meatloaf and then freeze it.
Baking into a meatloaf, I've never heard before, but is now officially my favorite way to hide your money. Like, because, you know, everybody goes under the mattress. That's the easy way out. But to bake it into a meatloaf, that's the key right there.
Yep, that is exactly what I was thinking. That's how I'm going to hide my money. I don't hide cash, but if I was going to hide cash, I'd put it in a meatloaf.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, the government's never going to let the banks crash. We learned that back in the Disney day.
Well, no, it's the assumption that, you know, we plunge ourselves into a war and the government starts to crumble, and then it can't do anything to do anything about the banks. I mean, the banks crumble because the government's crumbling, and they all fall down at the same time.
Well, then I think we got bigger problems than whether or not you got money.
Right.
Because you can have money all you want, and then I guess his island house that he's always wanted in Mexico will be the best option. just because he can, you know, run away and buy a house there, I suppose. So maybe
that's right.
It's good.
That's got to get to a place that you can defend yourself pretty well, because could be bad.
Well, hey, North Korea can hit Washington, D.C. and pretty much anywhere in the entire world with their nuclear weapons at this point. So there's that. You've pretty much got the impending doom right there any day now.
Oh, Cam, what a time we live in.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So that's what we talked about we talked about a lot of different things. I mean, we talked about Matt Lauer. We talked about the GOP debating whether or not to change the corporate tax rate from what they were proposing the 20% at. So, yeah, it was a good show. Talked about a lot of different things.
Hey, is the tax cut actually going to be that bad for middle class families? Because it seems like I'm getting one side of it saying that middle class families who make $40,000 to $50,000 are going to pay billions more in taxes, and the people who make $1 million or more are going to pay billions less. But I'm getting it from both sides where, oh, everybody's going to save money. It's just the wealthiest are going to save more, but similar in proportion-wise, because, you know, they just have more money. I'm just confused.
Right. Yeah. The most accurate statement, according to lots of independent economists and according to the, you know, Congressional Budget Office, is that for about, you know, somewhere between 5 and 10 years, really 7 years is the sweet number that most people seem to agree upon. For about 7 years, for most middle class people, not a lot will change. They might pay a little bit more, they might pay a little bit less, but all in all, it's about the same. For working class people who are, you know, paying 10% right now, it's bad for them because they're going to pay, you know, probably about another 2%. For single people, it is bad because it eliminates the personal deduction. So it means that if you don't have dependents, you're kind of up the creek because it doesn't double the personal exemption to 24,000. It just doubles, you know, your total exemption to 24,000. And if you're just a single dude, you're in bad shape. And so the easy answer is that most people, it doesn't do much to for about 7 years. Then after 7 years is where you'll end up paying more in taxes than you are paying today, which most of them acknowledge is a case. And they're saying that, you know, this isn't a permanent long-term solution for personal taxes. It is for corporate tax. And that's the, you know, that's the kicker. And the other side of it is that generally speaking, the C corporations of the world benefit, and the LLCs, partnerships, and S corporations of the world take a harder hit because the way those corporations are structured is with pass-through income, and the pass-through income takes a pretty hard hit. So generally speaking, middle class and upper middle class people who are the owners of the LLCs, partnerships, and S corporations
are going to get
they're going to get hurt the most, and then everybody else is pretty much not affected that much for about 7 years, and then it gets bad. So the assumption here is that they'll come back and they'll make it better for people, you know.
So big
corporations
the can.
Benefit, and you know the and people who would be subject to the estate tax also definitely benefit. Which again, I've said before, I think the estate tax should be gone, but I don't want the estate tax gone bad enough that then I'm willing to accept all this other stuff at this point.
Gotcha. So we're now a thumbs down on the tax bill. Sorry, yes. We're going too political, but I'm just confused.
Yep. Yeah. I'm now a thumbs down because there's a lot of conservative Republicans who are saying, you know, this is going to drastically increase the deficit.
Oh yeah, I heard that too. Like 1.5 to 2 trillion.
Yeah, and it's going to increase taxes on the middle class, which isn't what we want after, you know, 7 years or so. Or well, it won't increase, you know, the rate at which they pay per se. It will increase how much they pay.
Gotcha. Huh. Well, all right then. And now you know more, audience of the True Chat Show. I'm terribly sorry if that's not what you come here for, but hey, Cam Pierce was curious, and Justin T. answered. And that's really what we're all about here at the True Chat Show. Hey, but before we continue, I just want to let you know that True Chat Show of the Week is the weekly screen, and when you tune in, you'll be sure to hear Alex and Cam taking in a new movie or TV show from the hot new movies all at the theater to time-honored classics. Make sure you tune into that one every Monday by 9 p.m. Eastern Time and listen to the end of the show to hear next week's flick. In addition to the weekly screen, True Chat has a full selection of sports, politics, entertainment, business, lifestyle, and more. So be sure to head on over to truechat.org or download the True Chat mobile app and listen to those shows right away. You'll be sure to hear something you love here on True Chat. Now, let's turn our attention back to the tomfoolery that we're about this morning as my headphones and speakers fall all over me. But If you want to join the discussion, tweet at TrueChatINC or leave a comment on our website or app. Justin T, did you have a good day yesterday?
I did. I mean, for the most part, I got a lot of stuff done that I wanted to get done. So,
by God,
no complaints. I get to go socialize this evening, which is my favorite thing to do. So,
that was sarcasm.
Exciting. That's right. It's not one of my favorite things to do.
Ha ha. Well, small talk, socializing, not one of your favorite things to do. I'm saying socializing with your friends. I'm sure you have a good time with.
Yeah.
Not even a huge fan of that one. He says as he goes, "Eh, love it or leave it."
I mean, it depends. You know, it's a very broad, sweeping statement, as Cam would say. That I'm not sure if I'm okay endorsing that that sentiment. So.
Ooh. Not sure if he's okay endorsing. My goodness.
So, you know, unless Cam's financial situation is different than I'm aware of, Cam should probably not be supportive of the tax plan because it probably will not be a good thing for him.
Oh, no. Definitely not. Not a fan. After what you've told me, and I trust you. You know, don't just trust Justin, though, if you don't know him. I know him, and I know he's telling me the truth. But we'll go look stuff up, I guess, and see if it helps you. Because maybe there's some weird tax loophole that it's like, but I'm a guy with three fingers and I can get this thing off my taxes. And maybe that it helps you. And then who knows? But are they still simplifying the tax code at least?
Well, it depends on which version of the bill you're talking about.
Great.
Because we still don't have a unified version.
For sure.
So. I mean, yes, if one version passes, and no, if the other version passes.
Well, it's so. All right. If we know anything about the Republicans this session, they won't be able to pass anything anyway.
That's right. Well, and you'll love this. I heard this morning that they're now throwing some Republicans are throwing around the idea of a sunset clause, meaning that if in 7 years or so the deficit goes above. You know, there's this number they're going to choose out in the future. If the deficit goes over X, then it triggers automatic tax hikes.
Oh, great.
To offset the deficit. Yeah.
Great.
So that'll be good. If the American people, you know, if the debt goes up too much, then we'll just automatically pay more in taxes to offset the debt. Because we're totally in control of our national debt.
Yeah, but who's we? Is if that's the middle class and lower class, and then obviously the rich get richer off that. I'm not a huge fan of that, obviously.
Obviously. Well, plans, for what it's worth, the top rate for wealthy people pretty much stays the exact same. It's the one that doesn't really decrease. It's the intermediate people where they're like not the wealthiest, but they're in that, you know, we're really, really wealthy, but not like stupid wealthy.
Right.
So, so they're the ones that have they get a big break because of the way that they shift up into or shift down rather into lower tax brackets.
Well, there you go.
But yes, there is a version that simplifies. It's complicated, Cam. We don't know what's going on. We just know that both versions don't end well in about 7 years.
You know what I just heard? I heard that it's complicated to try and simplify the tax code.
That's correct.
The last time
it was done, it took about 2 years, and they're trying to do it in like 2 to 3 months.
Well, that's because that's what the Republicans do. They didn't. They just sat in Congress and schmoozed around for the 8 years they couldn't do anything, and didn't write anything, didn't think of any plans, and now they just are like, well, crap, we just got to rush our way to it.
Yep, that's pretty much what happened.
Which is dumb. That's real dumb. Never wait until the last moment to do things. And you're getting this from the man who only waits until the last moment to do things, and it's never good. It's never a good idea, but I do it. And just don't. Stop it. Get some help.
Hey, guess who's floundering?
Who's that?
BuzzFeed.
Are they? What happened?
They're laying off 100 employees, and they're reorganizing their ad sales and business operations units.
Oh, no. What happened? Just they're not making money?
I don't know. People have seen through them as the farce that they are.
Well, I mean, they're not a news organization. Are they firing lots of people from BuzzFeed News that's not really news?
Facing a significant revenue shortfall this year, BuzzFeed is laying off about 100 employees and reorganize its advertising and sales business operations as it moves away from relying purely on native advertising. BuzzFeed plans to reduce its U.S. staff by 8%, with all of the cuts coming from the business and sales side of business organization, the company said Wednesday. That's from the Wall Street Journal on Thursday.
There you go.
BuzzFeed employs about 1,700 people worldwide.
How many people worldwide? 200?
1,700.
1,700. Jeez. They're just a weird try and catch all news organization. Like, yep, all at the same time.
They do some cool stuff on YouTube, but some of it's also very strange, and I don't know.
And I mean, you can't make money on YouTube anymore without ads.
Yep.
Of your own choosing, because YouTube doesn't put ads on anything that may even remotely be contrary to what they're trying to sell to advertisers. Did you see that story? Oh, we haven't talked about that. The weird videos that were being targeted at kids, that like showed like their favorite characters like Spider-Man and the chicks from Frozen dying and all that stuff.
Yep, where it accidentally slipped through the filters because it supposedly had child appropriate content, even though it was basically actually dark and devilish, manipulations.
Yeah.
Of,
and then they figured out that they had a pedophile problem on the site when looking through the comments, because pretty much the only thing was, solicitation from people who want to do terrible things to your children. So that's not good. And most parents just are like, here's an iPad. YouTube Kids will obviously filter it down to things that you should watch. And then you just look at some of the videos that kids were watching that had like over, that had millions of views. And it's just like, that's not very good. YouTube, did you see that? I don't know. I think it was Mars Candy that removed all their advertising from YouTube and Google. Once you start affecting Papa Google, somebody is going to come down and give you talking to.
Yeah, I don't know. YouTube's not been in a great place. I mean, from this new kid thing all the way back to them hating gay people, it's not good.
And the first apocalypse because ads were by ISIS recruitment videos and all that stuff. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, not a fun space to be in, because I'm not going to just say that YouTube should have the answer to all this, because it's definitely a difficult situation to be in. Because at the same time, they've allegedly billed themselves as an open platform. But when you're an open platform, that means that people start to get real mad. And when you're a for-profit open platform where you depend on the revenue of advertisers, then it gets real sticky with how much you're going to listen to what they demand. So
right.
I've had ads pulled from some of my videos, which, for what it's worth, some of them seem ridiculous that they've been pulled from. I'm like, okay, I know for a fact that there's nothing offensive in this video. I mean, or that there is nothing that would be considered inappropriate for children.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's not all that they're looking for. Most people's, I don't know if you ever had a video about coming out that got demonetized, but lots of people got those.
Yep.
Those demonetized. I don't know what in the algorithm targets those, but yeah, it's been a thing for some time that a lot of that content was getting demonetized for some reason, and then YouTube was like, no, we love you guys, but it's just part of the algorithm, and they trust it so much, and it just seems to be biting them right in the backside every time. I think they just need to hire somebody from out of company to come in and look at it.
They're getting bit on the hindquarters, but hey, that's why True Chat's so much better than all these dudes.
Because we're not an open platform?
No, we are, but we're open to the expectation that we're open to the extent that you can say things as long as you have good reason for saying them and that you're willing to abide by a similar and universal standard.
Well, then I'd say we're not an open platform, but I'd say that we're open to allowing people on the platform. You just there's an extra step there. I don't know what you'd call us. And open is the most fun and inclusive, but I don't know. I wouldn't say open.
We're open to all viewpoints that aren't directly just hate at someone else or something else.
Right.
Yep. As long as it's not directly hateful, then we would very much welcome the opportunity for said opinion to be shared.
Justin T, did you see how much stock value EA has lost from the Battlefield debacle or Battlefront debacle? Sorry.
No.
All right. Well, I'll let you know. Make sure you stick around. I hooked him, Justin. Right until I finish this ad read. Whoa! True Chat will be the mortal enemy of speculation, innuendo, and stagnation. We will champion informed opinions and fresh ideas. True Chat will prove that media can be trusted, relied on, and responsible. We won't join the media elite because we're setting a new standard, a higher standard, the True Chat standard. If you have any ethical concerns with today's episode, please email ethics at truechat.org. Again, that's ethics at truechat.org. $3 billion in stock valuation is what EA has lost over the Battlefront debacle.
That might be a bit excessive.
It's a lot. It's a lot of money. I'll give you that. I saw that number the other day, and I'm like, oh, my God. I didn't know this many.
I think people forget that, you know, everyone who makes video games pretty much, or at least 99% of every video game I've ever played, is made for the purpose of making money.
Money. Well, hey, man, apparently the loot boxes have gone too far. I think certain governments just want to step back in and regulate video games again because they're starting to realize how much money they make.
Or maybe it's that people get too invested in video games and they just have to take things way over the top when it comes to how much they expect to be able to, you know, reasonably do inside of a game, how many hours they want to invest in said game.
Yeah. I mean, a $60 price tag is a fair amount. I mean, some people only pay, you know, $8 for a movie ticket, and that's 2 hours, 2.5 hours, depending on the movie. So, I mean, some people want to get, you know, they want their money to be worth what they think it's worth. And then if you have to go in and buy more crystals or more microtransaction money inside of a game to get the rest of the game, I don't know if that's necessarily fair. But it all depends on the
games
game
and stuff be free.
Huh?
Should all add-ons and upgrades be free?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when it's stuff like, and we've had this conversation, but if Battlefront's going to have Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker, two of the most awesome characters behind a paywall, that's BS to me.
Right, but they changed it. They're not.
They're behind an unlock wall, but they're not behind a paywall anymore. You're right, because they lost $3 billion in stock. If they didn't lose any money, then they wouldn't have changed it. So, but I mean,
that's to play. Again, I guess it depends on what you're after. I mean, you get to play as Luke Skywalker in the campaign, and you don't have to pay to do that other than to buy the game.
It's true. You know? It's very true.
So, I mean, I guess you can whine and complain and say, I'm not buying it for the campaign, but then maybe you just don't like the game and you shouldn't whine and complain that, you know, it's not built the way you would have built it.
Apparently,
I don't think it's great that they were behind a paywall, but at the same time, it's not like I'm surprised and it wouldn't have stopped me from getting the game, you know?
Right, but for a lot of people, it stopped them from getting the game. And for even some governments, they want loot boxes out of games altogether. Belgium's Minister of Justice came out about a week ago and said that the EU should ban them from games. And then we'll see who wants to put them in there if they want to lose a third of their market.
Yep. Agreed. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, but I think it's
the loot box thing is a different discussion because of gambling.
Well, that's what you have in Battlefront as well. You have loot boxes.
Right. I'm saying that is a separate discussion from putting a specific thing behind a paywall that you pay for and then you get said thing, you know, because that isn't gambling. That's I'm paying X dollars in order to get X thing. And that's just a straight up transaction.
Right.
It's not I'm going to pay this money and I don't know what I'm getting. I am gambling on what I'll get.
So you do agree that a game like Battlefront, that's rated T for teen, should not have loot boxes in it because it's subjecting kids, 13 to 18 year olds. But I mean, we know how video games work. We bought video games that were rated T and rated M way before we should have had them. So, but anyway, that means that those shouldn't be in those kind of games. If you're going to have loot boxes in, it should probably be 21 and up because it's gambling.
Well, so gambling specifically, like the way that we talk about it in the U.S., and this is where I think you get into sticky situations because I think different countries define it different ways. But gambling is the wagering of money or something of value on an event with an uncertain outcome with the primary intent of winning money or material goods.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I would say, no, it's not gambling. Because it isn't anything material. It's all immaterial. And, you know, in the most true fashion, I guess I look at gambling saying the way that we talk about it and define it in this world is when gambling, you have the chance to win nothing. And you don't have that here. You are guaranteed to get something. Now, you might not like the something you
get. Yeah, but you get pennies on the dollar sometimes, man.
That's what I'm saying. That's totally subjective. You can say that this thing's not worth, you know, it's worth pennies on the dollar, but none of that has any value because the only way you get it is by using said loot box, you know? So it's not, it isn't, there's not an assigned value to that that's regulated by
someone. It's not subjective at all. When Battlefront had prices that equaled crystals, and then you have, this is what this costs in crystals, but this is what this costs in the thing that you earn in game. You can do the math on that. If you open a loot box and one of the prizes you get is like 500 credits or whatever the other one was, I'll use the Star Wars one for example, then eventually you're going to be able to do that math and realize, wow, I just spent $10 on a loot box and only got 50 cents back. That's a monetary value. That's money that you're getting back to spend on more gambling. I think that's not a hard jump to make, in my opinion.
No, I'm not saying it's a hard jump to make. I'm just saying that, again, not being a lawyer, and I'm not saying from a legal standpoint, I'm just saying that what we classically define as gambling includes the possibility, whether it's, you know, any kind of racing, dogs, horses, or sitting in a casino, that you will not come away with anything at all. You could lose everything. And people frequently do. Otherwise, casinos and, you know, the likes wouldn't exist because they wouldn't make any money. In this situation, you will receive something. You know, I mean, you and I could see EA making the argument that you are receiving something. You're purchasing a loot box, the contents of which are a surprise, but then you'd have to eliminate anything, you know, in retail and otherwise, that includes some sort of additional add-on that isn't actually mentioned as part of what's being sold, you know, where you get this special thing that isn't mentioned, you know, it's a surprise, whatever that thing is, and you don't get it. I just think it's a sticky situation because I see both arguments being valid. You know, in the most legal of senses, gambling requires the three elements of consideration, chance, and prize. And not being a lawyer, again, I could see really valid arguments both ways.
Which is why you've seen the UK, you know, Justice Department come out and say, well, I don't think it's gambling, but it's not our call. And the Belgian Minister of Justice saying, no, it's super gambling. We should ban it throughout the entire EU. I mean, you're already seeing governments come out with contradictory opinions to themselves, or not to themselves, but to other countries. So I the only reason that I brought it up again is I thought the $3 billion stock loss is huge, and it's a sign that this has gone far beyond nerds being upset that they have to pay more money to swing a lightsaber around with Darth Vader. I think we've gone way past that and gone into the realm of this probably needs to be talked about for things in the future and where we want to go when it considers this specifically for video games as we move forward. I tell you what, man, the last thing EA wants at this point is for this to go to court, because they will, I bet you, $5 to a nickel that they lose, and then nobody in the gaming industry wants to talk to them anymore because they just took away a huge revenue stream for everyone. And maybe even mobile games. We'll see if we start to affect those.
It'll be interesting to see where it goes. I guess I was just getting at, I think they are separate and people keep combining them into the same thing. The idea of putting something, anything, you know, it doesn't matter if it's the most loved character or not, behind a paywall versus loot boxes are not remotely, in my estimate, they shouldn't be talked about in the same realm.
Because Agreed.
One is a legal thing and one is just companies wanting to make money.
Agreed.
You know? I mean, people do that all the time in all kinds of games. And I get that Star Wars, you know, transcends being a typical game because of the audience. But at the same time, that doesn't necessarily mean that a company should be punished for doing something that people might not like. But at the same time, then they don't have to buy the game. And that's, you know, that's what EA is finding out, is that if it pulls something like that, it's not going to go well.
No one's going to buy your game.
That's right. So, I mean, you know, Star Wars Battlefront 3, they will probably not try that. So,
you know what I would love? To be a fly on the wall in a conversation between Bob Iger, Disney CEO, and Andrew Wilson, the guy who is EA's CEO. I would love to be a fly on the wall there. Because I tell you what, Disney cannot be happy about Star Wars being surrounded by a child gambling situation right before Last Jedi comes out.
Yeah, no.
I am sure that conversation, A, did not go well, and B, definitely will be heated.
Yeah, it's it definitely wasn't great from a timing standpoint.
So. Nope. Yep. Not at all. They may not even have their sale they were going to have during Last Jedi, because they probably don't want that name circling around the movie at all.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. We'll keep watching it, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely transcended. Like I said, nerds whining and crying about Darth Vader being behind a paywall. That's for sure. hey, everybody, thanks for tuning in to True Chat. And you can join the conversation on our app or website, truechat.org, also by tweeting at truechatinc. If you already listen to podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, or some other platform, you can also subscribe to our shows there for the True Chat Show on True Chat in Cincinnati, Ohio. I know where I'm at. My name's Cam Pierce.
Sure you do. I'm Justin G.
We'll see you next time on the True Chat Show. Be the change.